rearrange things for my own benefit to make sure things are out of order. Perverse. Out of joint. Very interesting. Very interesting. Webster's dictionary definition of froward is habitually disposed to disobedience and opposition. I find that interesting. Now, again, habitually. All right? We're talking about strife. One who is habitually disposed to disobedience and opposition. Of course, the root word of opposed, or opposition, is oppose. What is that? To place over against something so as to provide resistance, counterbalance, or contrast. I thought the word contrast is very interesting. So if I want to oppose authority, I set against them to provide resistance and contrast. Here's an example. What do you think about what Pastor preached the other day? I'd never preach that. How'd that make you feel? Yeah? You didn't like that, did you? Well, I'll tell you what, brother, I'd never treat you like that. You know? Kind of like what Absalom did. Hey, come to me. I'll give you the answers. Don't worry about my father. Come on. Come on over here. Talk to me. I'll tell you what you want to hear. To set against, to provide resistance and contrast. In other words, I'm better than your authority. Follow me. Self-promoting. Strife. It just interests me. I got into the study of the Word of God and I thought, wow, this is really interesting. You know, and I think this is very good, too, in the culture in which we live. You know, I've got some social media accounts, but my word, some of that stuff out there, my word. You know, and yeah, I put pictures of myself online, hikes and things like that. I mean, I've got buddies who hike, and I think it's a neat way to share what you do and outdoors and stuff and see where each other goes and things like that. But wow, man, even some people in the church, I'm like, whoa. This, y'all love yourself, don't you? Not you, but I'm just like, whew, wow. Just interesting. Just interesting. That's all I'm saying. So, the froward person, the one who will set up against, to provide resistance, counterbalance, or contrast, and it may not be a in-your-face, blatant type of thing. You know, where you're carrying the sign that says hashtag resist, you know, and dump Trump and all that kind of stuff like that, you know, and among other things that are out there. But it could just be a casual, passive, ignoring, and shunning of authority. Strife. Confusion. Every evil work. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. So pride. Here's a key word. I stir up strife. I'm a proud person. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 22. An angry man stirreth up strife. So these are some characteristics and origins of strife in our life. As we go down through these, if we see anything in our life that, again, we're talking about habitually disposed to disobedience and opposition. Okay? I think if we're honest, we've all promoted ourselves at one time or another in our life. Sure we have. If you haven't, tell me how you've done it. I'll take notes. But, we're talking about habitual, self-promotion, self-seeking, opposing authority. A person of strife is a respecter of persons. James chapter 2 and verse 1 says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Having a person in esteem, respecting a person, promoting someone for my own gain and my own personal profit, aka using somebody. And a lot of times this is done by flattery. Jude chapter 16, or verse 16, I'm sorry, verse 16, says, "These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage," using someone. Friend, God is not a respecter of persons. God doesn't look at you and say, "I like you because of this, and I don't like you because of that, and you, well, you're on the fence," and so on and so forth. It's wrong to look at someone and to base their self-worth on their social status, whether they're male or female. And yes, I do believe still yet those are the only two genders out there. God created man. He created male and female. I believe in it. That's all there is. But it's still wrong to base a person's self-worth on whether they're male or female. It's wrong to base a person's self-worth on their net worth. It's wrong to base a person's worth on the color of their skin, my friend. It's wrong to base a person's worth on their ethnicity, where they came from in this world. Because we are all one race. We are the human race. We were created in the image of God and for the glory of God, and we were created a living soul, and that is what gives us value. We were created in the image of God for the glory of God. Amen? Amen. So Jude and James, they're saying, look, we need to be careful not to respect people, not to set one up and put another one down based upon our criteria of their worth and their value. James chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "But if you have respect of two persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors." So we need to be very, very careful not to use people for our self-promotion. That's all the Holy Ghost is saying. You're not my stepping stone to where I want to go. You're not here to prop up my ego. My self-worth is not dependent upon you. My self-worth is dependent upon the fact that Jesus Christ loves me unconditionally. He shed his blood for me, and he rose again the third day, and he fills me with his Holy Ghost, and he ever lives to be my intercessor, the man Christ Jesus. That's what gives me my value. Not you, and certainly not me. Because if I had to depend on my spiritual net worth to make it to heaven, I'm going straight to eternity without God. That's why I need him every moment of every day, of every hour. Amen? In every hour, excuse me. But to continue on our discussion about strife, we're going to look at Brother Cain. Old Brother Cain, we're going to pick on him for a while. Jude, not chapter, but verse 10. It says, "But these speak evil of those things which they know not." Now, I think that's pretty interesting to start out this passage of Scripture, because we're talking about strife. And very often, we're going to talk about this in just a moment, but strife very often originates verbally. It originates in the heart, but it's manifest verbally. Okay? So we need to be careful about talking about things that we don't know. I like to talk and discuss and debate, and not fight, but debate, you know, ideas and things in the Word of God. I need to be careful. It says, "But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves." Woe unto them. That's not good. Whenever you see a woe in the Word of God, it's not like slow down. It's like you're in trouble. "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." Everybody say that. The way of Cain. The way of Cain, "and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. These people aren't afraid. Nothing moves them. That's frightening. "Clouds there are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots." Twice dead's not good. You know what that means? That means they were born again and they died spiritually again. So they've been spiritually dead twice. That's not good at all. So, but they've gone in the way of Cain. What is the way of Cain? Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1. Adam knew his wife Eve. She conceived, bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. The process of time came to pass. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. I thought God wasn't a respecter of persons. He's a respecter of sacrifice. He's a respecter of obedience. He's not differentiating between the people saying, I like you and I don't like you. He's saying, you have obeyed me. I respect it. I appreciate it. I honor it. Cain, you're disobedient. Says, but unto Cain and his offering, he did not have respect. Notice, unto Cain and his offering, he did not have respect. Excuse me. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance falling? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Cain, I'm giving you an opportunity, Cain. I'm giving you a chance to address this, Cain. Cain, I'm giving you a chance to get up off the couch and go see what's wrong. Go down in the basement, Cain, and check your sump pump. Don't just sit there and say, it's nothing. No, it is something. There's something gushing out the sump pump, buddy. Go check it out. Cain, there's something gushing out of your life. You need to stop and check it out. He said, because if you don't do well, sin lies at the door. God already told him what was going to happen. He didn't tell him what he was going to do, but he said, there's going to be problems, Cain. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Wow. Everybody say, wow. He just killed his brother. He murdered his brother. I don't know where he is, God. Am I my brother's keeper? You just took your brother's life. You just deprived your mother and father of their son. Cain wasn't submitted to authority. There was strife in his heart. He was self-promoting. How do you know that? Well, the story itself reveals it to us. He refused to worship God properly. And upon admonition from the Lord, he refused to repent. Cain made his problem about his brother. How do you know? Because he went out. And because of the anger that resided in him, because of his unrepentance, because of his self-promoting spirit, he murdered his brother. How often have I seen brethren murder each other because they will not repent of their own intentions of self-promotion? Church, this isn't about me. This isn't about what I do in this church. I don't say this for any self-glory, but the pastor could come and he could say, Darren, you're not preaching again for a year. I'd say, fine. Not fine like that, you know, as an arrogant fine. But fine. Whatever you want. It's not about me. Would I shock you to let you know there are times that I preached and taught that I didn't want to? But he asked me to. And because he's my pastor, I said, yes, I will. Some of them have been on months' notice. Some of them have been on weeks' notice. Some of them have been on days' notice. Not too often. But there have been days. Hey, I got to work. Can you do this? Yes, I'll do it. And I will tell you this, more often than not because I'm spiritual, but because he's a good God, God's already dropped a word or two in my heart. Because God knows what he's going to do. And if we'll make ourselves available to him, it'll be okay. But friend, don't think everything I've done because, hey, I want to. No, I do it sometimes just because he's the man of God and it's obedience to what needs to be done in the church. So it's not about me. It's not about you. So, but he made it about his brother. And he refused correction. Cain destroyed his brother because of his self-generated anger. Abel wasn't Cain's problem. God wasn't Cain's problem. Cain was Cain's problem. My way. I got to do it my way. No, God said, Cain, I'm God. There will be a point in time. Trust me. There will be a point in time in your walk with God that the Lordship of Jesus Christ will be tested by the Lord Himself. And it's going to come down to this. You're Lord and I'm not. Because He's not going to move. Right. He's not going to change. He's not going to meet your demands. He's not going to meet your cries. Are you saying God's not going to answer my prayer? Hear what I'm saying. You will be tested at one point and another in your life, in your walk with God, to where you'll have to say, God, not my will be done, but your will be done. We'll have a lot of those times. But do you understand what I'm saying? God was saying, I'm God, you're not Cain. You're going to have to do it my way. And yes, that's a daily thing. But I do believe there will be a time in our life that there will be no other way out than the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will have to be His way and His will, or no way. Because He wants to know, He wants us to know where our heart and our allegiance lies. Cain's anger was the result of knowing he was wrong and his refusal to submit to God's authority. Nothing will make us angrier than knowing the will of God, not wanting to do the will of God, and not submitting to God's authority. It's a natural human reaction. It's not good, but it's natural. He tried to refuse to take responsibility for his actions. He said, am I my brother's keeper? You imagine? He complained later in verse 13 when God announced that he was going to be a vagabond and dwell on the earth. He said, God, this is more than I can bear. I wonder if God stepped back and said, what do you think your mom and daddy feel like, man? You're worried about your punishment, Cain, and you just killed your brother. What's up with you, man? You see the mindset here? You see the mindset of strife? He could have cared less about Abel. What about me, God? I'm going to have to wander. Everybody that sees me is going to kill me. Well, that's not a true statement anyway, because you can only die once, right? Yeah. What about me, God? I'm going to die. Well, maybe you should have thought about that before you rose up against your brother, Cain. But nonetheless, God had mercy on him, set a mark on him. Said, you're not gonna die. You're still gonna wander, but you're not gonna die. So Cain was more concerned with the severity of his punishment than the fact that he murdered his brother. Does anybody see anything wrong with that? Or am I the only one? Is that a problem? Okay. All right. I just wonder. I'm just kidding. Worse yet, he worried more about his punishment than the reasons why he did what he did, why he murdered his brother. It's bad enough that he murdered his brother, but why? You know? Doing wrong habitually is a bad thing. But we need to assess why we're doing it and repent of the why and get some accountability in our life and get somebody in our life that we can look at and say, you know what? I'm wrong. I've got a problem. I need help. I'm not telling you this because, you know, I want to justify myself. I'm telling you this because I know this is wrong with me, and I need to get it out in the open. Do you do that, Brother Pritt? Yes, I do. I sure do. Why? Because I have feelings and emotions and desires just like anybody else. It's wrong. Human. Can't deal with them. Need Jesus. Need the body. Need a pastor. I'm talking somebody today. We need to be honest with one another. You don't need to stand up here and tell everybody your deepest, darkest secrets and faults. I don't want to hear them necessarily. You ain't going to hear all mine either. How you like that? But this man will. He'll hear a lot of them. Why? Because he's my pastor. He can look at me and say, you're wrong, Darren. He can look at me and say, I'm praying for you. When he knows what I think that I shouldn't be thinking or whatever it might be. I don't know. You know? Maybe I want to steal chocolate chip cookies from the gas station. Kind of juvenile, but you know what? We all have temptations, right? I don't want to, but maybe I do. And I go to him and I say, Pastor, I really got a problem. What's that? I can't go into a gas station without wanting to steal chocolate chip cookies. guess what? Now, not only, it's not just a temptation for me now. He knows it. God knows it. We can pray about it. Amen? Anyhow, moving on. More often than not, strife is of verbal origin. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous." Boy, a lot of bad people here, huh? "Nor drunkards, nor revilers." What? Revilers. "Nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God." Revilers. Revilers. What is a reviler? It's an abuser. It's one who uses abusive, caustic language. Language that tears apart, tears down. A railer. Is that someone who just says something because they're irritated, they've had a bad day, and they repent, and you know what, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. No. Remember, we're talking about habitual. Habitually. Sinning, causing problems. We're talking about one who, this is constant verbal agitation. Constant verbal agitation. Paul said, they're not going to make it. Troublemakers, instigators. Why? For self-promotion. Well, it's a cordial too. And I'm not going to rush through this last page in the next 30 seconds. So if it's okay, Pastor, we'll pick up on this next week and we'll finish this next week because we got about halfway through this outline. So, but next week, we're going to talk about dealing with a person of strife. Again, we want to leave this with this. A person that is froward, habitually disposed to disobedience and opposition. Okay? So we're going to talk next week about dealing with a person of strife and how do we deal with that? Or if we are a person of strife, if we are habitual in our words, our actions, and you know, when I come around, someone says, "Oh my word, you know, what's it going to say now?" Which I hope that's not the case. We need to repent, right? So let's stay in the house of the Lord. We're going to prepare for a time of worship here in just a moment. But let's pray and ask the Lord, "Lord, search me, O God. Search my heart and try me." Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the line, Lord, that you have dropped among us, Lord, to make sure we're true, to make sure we're lining up to your word. We appreciate that, God, because, Lord, we don't want to fool ourselves. We don't want to play church. We want to move on. We want to do the things that you have called us to do. We want to inherit the promises that you have laid out before us. So, Father, we just ask right now that you would examine our hearts through your word. And, God, help me to be introspective, Lord. Help me to look at myself in the light of the word of God with honesty and clarity, Lord. And show me, God, where I need to change and give me a willing heart to repent. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless yourself.